Blog Talk Radio. Hello, welcome back to NHN Radio, where horses have a voice. Brought to you by Natural Horse Network and Simply NHN. This is DC, your host. And today my co-host is Tim Link, animal communicator. We'll be chatting with callers about their animals. And you can also ask questions in the chat room. We'll do our best to get to all of you. So let's get started. Well, welcome back, Tim.
Well, great to be here. Thanks for having me back on this month. I can't believe another month has passed by.
I know. It went fast.
It has. It has. And before you know it, spring will be here, and we'll be able to get out there and enjoy our pets and get out riding even more. So it's going to be great.
Well, before we get started, I see we have a couple callers on the line, so hang tight. We'll get to you. Tim and I are just going to chat briefly about a few things. First of all, I wanted Tim to tell everybody about his book.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much. We've got a new book coming out. It's called Wagging Tails. Every Animal Has a Tail. And it's the stories about the animals that I've worked with. In this particular book, it's a lot of dogs and cats and other critters. But we talk about animals that have have some behavior changes or behavior problems. We talk about animals that are lost, and then we help find them again and bring them back home. And we talk a little bit about animals that either are going through the transition process or have transitioned over and dealing with that grieving process. So we're pretty excited about it. The book's due to hit the bookshelves nationwide May 1st, and it'll be available at all the major venues and online at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and you should be able to get it at your local bookstores as well. And pre-orders will come out the first part of March. But it's really exciting. We've got a couple really strong endorsements for it, one of them being from Jack Hanna, which does – yeah, very big name.
The
Jack
exercise
is
exercise guy.
No, well, not the exercise guy.
No.
Yeah, Jack Hanna is the critter guy. So if you ever watch Leno, the Tonight Show or David Letterman Show or any of the major –
yes, he's always bringing on all those critters.
That's right, and that's Jack, and he's been doing it for about 40-some years, and Jack is an Emmy Award-winning, he won an Emmy Award last year for his television show Into the Wild, and it's really cool, and it's a great opportunity, and Jack reviewed the book, liked what he heard, and we've had some really good interfaces with Jack since then, and also Jack is the Director Emeritus at the Columbus, Ohio Zoo, so it affords us an opportunity to talk to those folks as well. So we're real excited about it. It should be a fun book that will tug at your heartstrings as well as give you some good laughs, and so keep an eye on it. And the best way to find out about what's going on with the book and everything else in my world is to go on my website and sign up for the free e-newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter that we put out each month, the first of each month, and it goes through all the wonderful things that that I'm doing. It has some promotions in there, like this month's discounts are refer two friends and get a free private consultation, which is a cool deal. And it also includes usually two or three articles and helpful hints on things you should know about your pets. So this month, we're one of the topics we're discussing is using animals for therapy and using animals for guide purposes and for supporting people that have disabilities. And so we talk about that in the book, in the newsletter as well. And best of all, it's free.
Well, that's congratulations. I think that's really exciting. I can't wait for your book.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're excited about it. It'll be here before we know it. We're already setting up the tour dates, and I believe tentatively Denver's on our list of tour cities. So, so as we get that booked out, we'll be letting everybody know that's in the Denver area. But we're going to be out on the road for a couple of months and promoting the book. So we're excited about it.
Well, don't forget about us when you get famous, Tim.
You mean I'm not already famous? Wait a minute.
Well, yeah, you're sort of famous.
Sort of famous. It's right. It's all on how you look at your celebrity.
Well, next you'll be on those, you know, night shows, and we'll see you on Oprah.
There you go. There you
Wouldn't
go.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
We will look forward to that happening. We'll put it out there, and we'll see it happen.
Yeah. Okay, so you said you had a little announcement for us, something you needed to talk about?
Yeah, well, we had, as I just mentioned in our newsletter this month, we talked a little bit about guide animals and using animals for therapy, using animals for individuals that have disabilities. And they had speaking of talk shows, Rachel Ray, her daytime talk show, last week had some people on there talking about, you know, had various animals on there. Had the dog from Marley and Me on there and a few other ones. But the one that struck me the most was a horse. This was a miniature guide horse by the name of Panda. It was a little horse that was black and white and looked like a little woolly panda horse. And
panda horse.
Panda horse, exactly. And Panda, the horse, is a guide horse that's been trained to help a legally blind lady by the name of Ann Eddy. And Panda is a great assistance to Ann, has worked with her for a couple of years or so now, and basically helps her get through her day and helps her so she can live a normal life and gets her through her days and nights. But there are some rule changes coming out that could possibly affect whether she can use Panda as a guide horse. Typically, we think of guide animals as a dog that's been trained to be a guide for the visually impaired.
Right.
But nowadays, we're starting to see more and more different types of animals being presented to this. There are the miniature horses, like we mentioned. Some people are training exotic animals like monkeys to do some of the training and helping the people out. And the challenge is that the types of animals have gotten so broad that the American Disability Act, the government is taking another look at this and considering putting tighter restrictions in place and also eliminating some animals that cannot be part of the program. So my encouragement to the listeners out there would be to go to the ADA website, this ada.gov, read a little bit more about the potential changes and the potential things happening that would possibly affect using miniature guide horses as guides, and write your local congressmen and senators and write into the ADA and let them know that a miniature horse can be a long-term, loving, and very productive part of the guide program, and that you're in favor of supporting that program if you do. I think it's a very valuable program, and I would hate to see them put such tight restrictions on it that it would eliminate the opportunity for miniature horses to lend their gifts and their talents.
I agree, because from what I've heard, the minis do a great job, and as we all know, horses need a job nowadays, so let's not take those jobs away from them.
That's right. All animals need a job. They need. They're here for a purpose, and they need a job to support, to keep them mentally stimulated and focused. And that's what they enjoy to do, is to help out. So, take a look at the website ada.gov again. Learn a little bit more about it, and see how you can help out the situation.
Okay. Very good. So we are ready to take our first caller. Are we, Tim?
We are ready.
Okay. Caller 937, you're on the air. Hello?
Hello?
Hello, who are we speaking with?
This is Katie.
Hi, Katie. Did you have a question? Did you send us a picture?
I did send you a picture of my horse that I've had for about a year and a half almost.
Okay.
Didn't really have anything specific. He's a left brain introvert, and he's a little bit defiant sometimes, and I don't know. Didn't really have anything specific, just kind of wanted to know what he thought about me. And
okay,
right.
Tell us the name of your horse so we know who we're talking about.
The horse's name is Mimosa.
Okay, do you have that one, Tim?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. You're always way ahead of me, Tim.
Try to stay prepared. It's not always easy.
Okay,
gorgeous. Now, is this Kay's picture of you working with Mimosa?
Yes.
Great, fantastic. Wow. Well, tell us a little bit about Mimosa. What type of horse is it? And you said sometimes he gets a little bit stubborn or defiant in what you're wanting to do?
Yeah, he's a big guy. He's about, I measured him when he was 2.5, and he's about 16 hands, so he's a big guy, and he's got a heart of gold, and he seems like he's always, you know, wanting to please, and then sometimes he'll go, he's only four, probably four in March, and so he has little episodes where he just doesn't think that, you know, what I'm asking him to do is a very good idea, and so he'll just, you know, maybe throw a leg or rear or do something else. My first experience riding him was not a very good one. He ended up, like, bucking me off and running away, and so I was a little bit afraid of him, and so that fear still sometimes comes up with some of the things that he does. But in general, I think he's a good guy, and I really do like him.
That's great. Well, he's a beautiful boy. He feels really good to me. He's really strong, so that's good news. And I think the key thing there you had mentioned was, you know, sometimes based on his past attitude or approach to things that you get a little fearful.
Mm-hmm.
And we know our animals, our horses, can pick up on that. You know,
mm-hmm.
whenever we're fearful of a situation or we put out the possibility that he's going to act up a little bit, sure enough, he's going to act up. So the key thing you have to keep in mind is that when you're working with him, be very strong, very confident in what you're wanting, and don't let fear, I know it's easier said than done, but don't let fear sneak in there, because he will pick up on that. He won't let you down. If you're worried and you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I wonder if he's going to do this or not, guess what? He's going to do just what you're putting out there.
Yeah.
So you need to be very, very firm and explain to him what you're wanting and go through your routines with him, and I think he'll be fine with it. Otherwise, he'll get a little bit rambunctious and he'll get a little bit lazy as well. So you want to keep him mentally stimulated. I think he's one of these guys where do you do a lot of different routines with him?
Well, I don't have as much time as I would like to have with him. So on the days that I do work him, you know, I try and keep it, you know, different, all the things that we do. He seems to enjoy going on trail rides, but after a certain length of time, he gets a little bit, I think, just tired physically, and so he starts to mentally kind of check out.
Yeah, so I think that he would like I would give him more challenges. I'd mix up the routine a little bit, even if you're just taking him out on the out and about. I would, you know, change the pattern, change the area that you ride in or work him out in. Just mix it up a little bit, keep it fresh for him. So I think that would be the best thing for you, especially if you can't get out there on a regular basis. When you do, give him something that he's not expecting.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's Otherwise, a big guy. I'm looking at his picture. He looks big.
Yeah. Like I said, I measured him when he was 2.5, and he's certainly grown since then.
That's awesome. Well, he's a beautiful boy. I think you're in good shape, so he doesn't have a – just keep it fresh and keep him as active as you can, and I think you're going to have a nice long relationship with him.
Cool.
Excellent. Thanks for calling in, Kay. We appreciate it.
Yeah, all right. Thank you very much.
I also had my boyfriend's horse is on there.
Mm-hmm.
wrangler, so I don't know if you're ready to talk to him or not, but his horse was also in.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's the paint horse, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, how long have you had him? How long have you had Wrangler?
Actually, Katie bought him for me for Christmas last year. He came to me about the end of February, so almost a year ago.
Okay. Yeah, because it seems kind of new. Do you know much about his history?
Just a little and just what we had been told. He came from Iowa, and they said that he, you know, was doing some roping. And that's about all I know.
Okay. Yeah, he didn't like. Did they say if he performed well in the roping or not? Because he's telling me he didn't like the roping.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, and they were getting rid of him, so that tells me, you know, something wasn't right.
Yeah. Yeah, he said he didn't like it, and he said he didn't like how they handled it. Now, I'm not meaning that they handled him poorly or anything, but I think their expectation of him was greater than what he wanted to perform, and I think he is better at other things than getting him out there and roping. I think he's going to be a good boy for you. I think he's going to be really, really strong, and you could do a lot with him. But as far as roping and those agility type things, I'm not sure if he really is that interested in it.
Right.
But
we've also recently discovered some health issues that may be related to that or give good reason for that too.
Yeah, does he have some hoof problems? I'm picking up some things on his ankles.
Yeah. He's got navicular.
Okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is he shod?
He is now. He was not when I got him.
Okay.
And I had some shoes put on him about 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, those ankles, I would keep close eye on them, try to get them treated, try to get some things that will help support him. I think that it will get better over time. I think the fact of what you've done with him so far is definitely the route to go. And they still feel tender. They still feel tender to me from what he's showing me. So you're going to keep a close eye on those, make sure that they you can give them as much support as you can.
Right.
But other than that, I think he's going to just give him a lot of love and attention. Don't expect a lot of heavy stuff from him. Keep it simple for him. Watch after his health, and I think he's going to be fine.
Right.
Hey, Joel?
Yes?
If you haven't, you should join our community because we can give you a lot of help and support with that navicular.
Okay.
Okay?
We'll do that.
Yeah.
I mean, we had just gone to the vet this Monday of this week and got the final word from the vet as far as what it was. Farrier was pretty much on the same page. I'm looking at supplements and the shoeing going, just everything I can to support him.
Good. Okay.
Very
good. Are you guys all done?
Excellent. Thanks so much. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. Thanks for the beautiful pictures.
Alrighty.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks both of you for calling in.
Thank you
for being there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Interesting. Beautiful horses.
Yeah, definitely so. I think they're going to have a great relationship with both of them. I think they're, the new horse is going to need a little bit more love and caring and attention, but I think that once it gets adjusted to everything, it's going to be fine.
All right, well, let's take our next caller. Hello, caller 505, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Hello, Stephanie, thank you for waiting.
Yeah, it's really great to hear from Joel and Katie. They bring their horses over to my house every Sunday for a play day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working, kind of helping them get going with their horses. And so it's really it was nice to hear what Tim had to say, because it kind of echoed what we've been kind of thinking all along with Wrangler. So that's great.
That's
great.
Tim's always right on the money. So
I do my
Stephanie,
best.
Are you calling us from the back of your horse?
Well, you know what? That got canceled, but I'm actually sitting here with Eagle, the buckskin gelding.
Okay.
I was just brushing him while I was listening to everything.
Okay. Well, I'll let you guys chat.
Okay.
So what do we want to know about Eagle?
Well, Eagle has had some abusive past, emotional abuse, not like lack of feed or neglect. And he's been in my care for, 2 or 3 months now, maybe? And he's really making some great progress. Very slow, but I notice his progress. And I just wanted to, see if there was anything you were picking up on that possibly I haven't, so I can kind of help get him more trusting. And, he has made incredible strides, so that's good.
Is he going to be staying there with you full time?
Right now, he is with me full time. Might be changing by summer, but I'm not sure yet. We're going to kind of see how things go.
Okay, keep him posted on that, because he's really wanting to know if he's going to stay there or not.
Okay.
Has he changed hands quite a bit?
Yes, he has.
Yeah. So he's really kind of, I think that as soon as whether he's going to stay there or not, keeping him informed of the situation, that he's going to be there for now, and then when summer comes, you guys are going to take another look at things, whatever it may be, or if you decide to keep him, that's great too. He is feeling comfortable there, which is a good thing, but he does, part of that underlying uncertainty is the fact that he's changed hands so many times.
Yeah.
So reassure him of what's going on, and you can talk to him mentally, you can talk to him, visualize the whole thing, or you can talk to him out loud, just like you and I are talking, letting him know what the situation is and what he needs to do and why it's going to be a good thing for him when it's all said and done.
Yeah. Is he okay with the progress? Like, am I going too fast for him, or does he seem okay with me?
Yeah, no, he seems very comfortable. So I think he's very comfortable with you and very comfortable with the situation. It's not pushing him too much. I think you know when to ease off the pedal when you need to. So I think getting him out there and just working with him, I think is a good thing. I think it's a good thing. He needs a lot of love and security, though, right now. So
yeah, poor guy.
Yeah. I think that's going to be the biggest part of it. Keeping him stimulated and keeping him active, those type of challenges, those type of things are going to be great. But just spending some time just like you're doing right now, brushing him and loving on him and building up that security, I think it's going to help him out a lot.
Yeah. Okay, good. Okay, Eagle? Yeah, he's all sleepy right now, so he's thrilled.
Nice life.
And then, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm done.
Oh, okay, and then I sent you a photo of a paint horse named Oscar.
What's his name, Stephanie?
Oscar.
Oh, Oscar. Okay. I'm sorry, everyone. Usually I get these pictures up on the website, and I really didn't have time to get it up, so I'll post them later so people can. I've been kind of busy lately.
Yeah, you are busy.
So tell me a little bit about Oscar. Has he had some stomach issues?
I'm wondering if there's something. I've kind of picked up that he hasn't been feeling 100%, and there were also some changes in his life. My daughter owns him, and she is away for a while, like months. So I thought he was probably just depressed, but then he started not looking real great. You know, it looked like he was losing some weight, and, you know, he just doesn't seem on his game.
Yeah, he doesn't. He really doesn't feel well to me. I feel some things going on in his stomach, and I feel him being really sluggish. Now, you know, a lot of things could come from that. If your daughter is away and no one's explained to him the situation, then he could be feeling some depression. And whenever you have depression, then that puts that negative energy within your body, which does start to affect you in other ways, with your health in particular. So I think going to explain to him what the situation is and when she'll be back and that she is coming back, I think would go a long way in building his, you know, building him back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I would definitely keep an eye on that stomach. Has there been a change in feed or anything, or has it been more of just lack of appetite?
No, he eats fine. I'm actually giving him a little bit more alfalfa. He gets alfalfa twice a day, but he also gets grass hay with his alfalfa. Like, he gets a little flake, and then he gets another flake of, so he can eat both. I thought the alfalfa might kind of perk him up a little bit, because I know he really likes it.
Mm-hmm.
I also dewormed him with a chemical dewormer, because I thought maybe that, you know, could be some of it. Probably like 3 weeks ago.
Do you have him on any probiotics?
No, I don't.
You should do that. Especially after
okay.
chemical worming.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea to build it back up and put some more of that, the positive material back into his stomach. That could have definitely set him off a little bit. So it's
okay.
be a combination of several things. Alfalfa definitely should excite him, but you got to be careful of how much you give him of that, of course.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Make sure there's a right mixture of that. But, yeah, keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him. I would definitely explain to him the situation with your daughter, so spend some time with him talking to him about that or visualizing, you know, where she's at and when she's coming back,
mm-hmm.
when it's okay. Because I do feel him being kind of sluggish. That could be just from a little bit of uncertainty and depression if your daughter went away. Part of it could be that his stomach's a little bit off right now. But
yeah.
It doesn't feel good to me right now, so keep a
okay.
focus on that.
Okay. Now Oscar's always been a little grouchy, and you know, and knowing his past, I totally understand why he's been a little grouchy, and he's not so grouchy with my daughter because he really adores her. But I wondered if you had any insight on that whole thing going on.
Well, first of all, I would change his name. I would get a nickname for him.
Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the well, Grouch. Oscar Madison, the Odd Couple. Remember, they were both real grouches.
Oscar.
Well, actually, we did energetically change his name to Oscar, as in the movie award.
Okay, so hi, an Oscar, sure.
And I will also let you know, he was one of the horses in the movie Hidalgo.
Oh, fantastic.
And
that's a great show.
And that's, you know, they, I think on the set they named him Oscar because he was grouchy, and so then when he came into our life, we energetically changed his name to Oscar as something positive.
Good.
But, you know, he still has his moments.
Well, give him a positive nickname. I would encourage you to do that because
okay.
it is that energy, that perception. So though you visualize it as the Oscar, the trophy, I'm sure most people went more towards the grouch. So it does affect things quite a bit. It's strange how our names will often reflect our personalities.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Yes. But I think that, you know, to be honest with you, how long, how long has it been since, I mean, has he recently just been feeling kind of out of sorts, or has it been going on?
Since Tori left in January, early January 1st, okay. She left. So, like 6 to 7 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, I think a lot of that, I mean, he'll be a little bit extra temperamental right now. I think he just has a streak of being temperamental. I don't see it being an all-the-time type of thing. I would definitely get him some positive names, positive energy, make sure he's feeling well. I think you'll start to see him. He'll get a little bit more less grouchy. He's a very independent boy, though, so he'll have those streaks. So just part of his personality. And that's okay.
Okay. And then I sent a picture of my little doggie. Bella is her name.
Gorgeous little Sheltie.
Yeah, and she came into our life November 7th, I think it was. She was a stray, and she'd been running wild. Well, not wild, but just running for her life. We think for about 6 months. And she finally, she found some comfort underneath one of our stallion's feet one morning, which was really interesting that, you know, she knew that he'd keep her safe from the coyotes and the other dogs we have running around here. And she finally came up to me after about a half hour, and I picked her up and took her in. So she's part of my life now.
Running, Stephanie, like just running the streets?
Yeah, running. We live pretty rurally, and she was running between about 50 acres. She had this path that she'd do all day long. I'd see her 3 or 4 times a day, just running all day.
Right. Now, she's still, I know she's there with you, but she has free rein to go where she wants, correct?
She's too afraid to go outside without me.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
When I put a leash on her, it's like holding her hand, and she's okay. But if I let her out, which I just started doing the last few weeks, letting her out with me, she won't go very far because she's just, like, she won't even go to the bathroom. She's so afraid.
Yeah, I mean, she had, I do believe that she sort of had, what she showed me was that she had been out there for quite a little while, this path. I don't think the path, from what she showed me, I don't think she belongs to someone on the other side of that path. I don't think it's where she originally started from. I think that she lived elsewhere and ended up there. I don't know if she was dumped or what it was, but she found herself being there and just running the same area over and over. So she's had a pretty tough little life so far. But cool news is that, you know, our animals come into our lives for a reason, and though they understand their path from the past, they don't get bogged down with it. They don't get caught up in it and wear it like it's a badge of honor like us humans do. So she's not worried. She'll continue to get a little bit more confident as you move forward. So I would just continue to work with her to get her confidence up. But I think she's definitely a keeper. She likes the setup there. She likes the energy there.
I've wondered about something in her rib cage area, like maybe her shoulder, her rib cage, mostly. On her left side, I'm kind of seeing.
How's that left hip doing? Did she show any favoritism on that, or she?
Not on the hip. Well, it could be the hip, but I know it's something on her left side.
Yeah,
I can't quite pinpoint it.
Yeah, I feel some sort of blockage there. What I mean blockage is energy is not flowing very well through there. I call it the hip. It probably extends down through the side, her side to her hip. I think there was some trauma there at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have her on any supplements? Do you have her on any glucosamine, chondroitin?
No, I don't. So
okay. You may want to introduce that to her. There's a wonderful product called Cosequin. It's a, and you can get Cosequin in a chewable tablet, and the puppies usually like it because it tastes like a little treat. And it has all the wonderful stuff in there to build up and protect her joints. I think there's going to be some issues as she continues to get older in that area. So the more we can introduce that to her now, the better off she's going to be.
Okay.
And yeah, she's had some challenges, but she's found a good place. So I think you guys are, she's a keeper.
Yeah. Okay. Well, great.
In your environment, Shelties will be a great dog once she starts to build up her energy within her, her trusting within her. I think she's going to be really good for you guys to set up there.
Yeah. Well, good. She's a good little girl. She's just so quiet, and for a Sheltie, I mean, they're supposed to be yappers, and she only barks about twice every week.
Wow. That's
cool. I think she's afraid to bark.
Oh, afraid someone will hear her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She only gives me a little bark when it's time to feed her. Which is, I'm trying to get her to talk up a little bit. But.
Right, right. Well, I think that's gonna, as she continues to build her confidence, you'll probably hear more and more from her. But she's going to be, I think she'll be relatively quiet. She's going to be definitely a mama's girl, so. I think she's good. She's happy now, so that's the important thing.
All right. Well, thanks for all your time.
Great.
Are you all done now, Stephanie?
Yes. Yep. That's my part of my crew.
Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Tim, and I'll look forward to seeing your book.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. I appreciate it. We'll keep you posted.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
All right, you too.
Well, Tim, we don't have any callers right now, so I guess we could find something to chat about.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about what's going on with NHN and some of the things you're seeing out there.
Well, we've been really busy. You know, we've got the company, Simply NHN, we're always coming out with new products. We just came out with a new product called Pest Free, which is amazing. Angela put it together, and it works really well with getting rid of fleas and all kinds of critters really quickly, and it's all safe, all natural.
Wow. Now, is it a spray you spray directly onto the...
No, it's a little powder. Comes in a little shaker bottle, and you just shake it on their coat, brush it through, and you'll see the critters just leave. Here in Colorado... we don't really have problems with ticks or fleas, thank goodness.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot of heartworm.
Very interesting. So
which I think is probably wherever there's mosquitoes, correct?
Yeah, usually that's where it's at. Whenever there's an infestation of mosquitoes, that's what brings on the heartworm. And, of course, then any water surfaces, stagnant water, especially ponds and small lakes, those type of things will attract the mosquitoes.
Mhm. And a lot of people have problems with ticks. They create so many problems.
Yeah, they do. Down here in Georgia, we have quite a bit of problems with ticks. Deer ticks are starting to appear more readily down here. And the interesting thing about it is we're starting to see them closer to home. You know, typically a deer tick, you really have to be out into the wooded areas. But now we're starting to see them bring into you know, the more common areas and near our homes. I think a part of that is due to the pine straw. We have most of the trees, or quite a few of the trees down in this area, are pine, and people like to collect the pine needles and put them as decorative part of their decoration around their bushes and shrubs and trees. And that's bringing in more deer ticks when they go to collect the pine straw. The deer ticks are still alive and well, and then they breed and get closer to the homes.
Oh,
yeah,
weird.
So we have to be very careful that the material that you have around your house, definitely if it's natural material, they're going to be bringing in some sort of bugs with it. So you have to make sure you're everything's treated, or at least you know who you're getting your supply from. Because ticks can be pretty nasty, especially those deer ticks.
Yeah, it just seems like they're getting, like there's more and more of them, or maybe you're just hearing more about them.
Well, I think I'm not sure if they're growing in population or not. I know that the tick typically thrives off of warmer weather, and we're starting to see that nationwide, a little bit warmer weather, and that definitely would help increase their population as well. So, gotta be careful of those things. But the new product sounds fantastic, nice and easy. How often do you have to apply that?
Just once a day.
Very nice. So you just shake it on and brush it out, and voila.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up right now so I can give you a little more information.
Very cool.
We also have a new natural warmer too, which is a lot of people are liking that for horses, and I believe you can use it for dogs as well if you needed to.
Oh, great.
And I think I'm gonna try it with my rabbits.
That'll be.
But for the pest free, you use it every other day for about 12 days.
Every other day for 12 days, okay.
Yeah, so it's good for fleas, ticks, mites, lice. One thing we used to see a lot when I was in veterinary medicine was the Demodectic mange.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a dog with that?
Yeah, we have actually at the.
Nasty.
Yeah, very nasty. At the shelter, we had a couple of puppies, actually, that were dropped off, which was illegal to do, but they dropped them off in the middle of the night, and we, of course, take them in and take care of them, and they had that. So we had to have them quarantined, and it took several months just to sort of, we got it under control, but just to get them feeling healthy and looking good again, it took several months to get that, get them to the point where they were good to go. You have to be careful of that. There's a lot to know, a lot to learn. So that's why I tell people.
There
is. So whether you're talking about horses or dogs or cats or rabbits, whatever it may be, just do your homework ahead of time and then stay on top of it. And there's a lot of good thing about it is there's a lot of great products being developed, a lot of great foods that are being produced, and that will help those situations. And more and more of them are becoming more organic and natural type of products as well. So take a look at those things.
I heard something disturbing the other day. In California, I think they just passed this some law for puppy mills, which would regulate it a lot more. It was a lot of restrictions on what could be done.
Good.
And then I heard here in Colorado they vetoed it because they felt that it would not deter the people that were abusing dogs, but it would be a detriment to the legitimate breeders. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, the puppy mills are fortunately getting a lot of exposure. They're really trying to crack down on these. And the typical puppy mill is, we view them not necessarily as what I call a backyard breeder, which is someone who has an animal and breeds them, but more of they have hundreds and hundreds of animals that are in cages, and all they're there for is to breed. And when they get to the point where they can't breed anymore, then they either sell them off or destroy them. And we see a big problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
In the South is a very prominent area. Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, is a very prominent area. And the challenge we have is that there's a big push federally to get these things mandated and get some programs put in place. But the federal government is pushing back on the state governments to control this. And, of course, the state governments then push down the counties and et cetera, et cetera. So nobody really wants to step forward and put some strong regulations in place. California, fortunately, the state of California has always been very progressive in identifying these problems and potential problems and trying to do something about it.
Yeah.
I think my personal take on it is the fact that I think there needs to be some rules and regulations, some guidelines put in place for breeding in general. I don't think we should be so restrictive that we affect, national programs like the AKC and some other national programs who do, proper breeding, and they document it, and you know everything is checked to the T. So when you go to adopt one of these animals, you have the full background, the full history of the animal. But somehow we've got to merge the two. We've got to get from being a very professional breeder to the puppy mills. There's got to be a middle way.
Right, a middle ground. I agree.
Exactly. So my personal take on it is to get to that middle ground, I think there should be some rules and regulations federally put in place saying if you're going to be a breeder, you have to follow these guidelines. And what, you get certified, you pay for a license. The license doesn't have to be very expensive, a $20 license, and it gets renewed every year. And once every X number of years, however they want to do it, they're required to have someone from the state and local government come and check out your facility and make sure you're doing it properly. So it's really no different than what we do at a shelter. I do a lot of work with humane societies and rescue groups, and in order to have a shelter facility and keep our 501c3 license, nonprofit license, viable, then there are certain rules and regulations we have to follow. Each year we have to renew a license, and the Department of Agriculture can come out once a year minimum and review the site and make sure that everything's being followed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And we, as long as the place is, they have records of the shots and treatment of the animals, they have, documentation of what breeding's been going on there, and they keep a nice, healthy, clean facility, then at that point, I think that's good middle ground.
Well, there just seems like there's so many abuses that go on in these puppy mills, the type of cages they're in, the fact that they're never let out. It just seems very unhealthy.
Well, most of the puppy mills, a lot of times they're smaller breed because they can produce more and they can store more of them in one location. The cages are usually 5x5 or 10x10 cages. They're stacked on top of each other so they can be 100 runs long and 5 runs high. So you got 50 dogs, and a lot of these dogs, they never see the light of day. They never see, never touch the ground. Their feet are never touch grass. They never have any direct compassion or love given to them. They're just given food, bread, and that's it. It's a bad, bad situation. Our society is better than that, and we should we should be eliminating and putting some strong sanctions on those type of groups. But in order to do that, like the state of Colorado, there has to be some sort of a guideline put in place. Everybody has to come to an agreement that here's what's acceptable, and that the animals are more than just property, that they are living sentient beings. They deserve proper care, and
I think the problem is getting the people to enforce. If you pass laws, then you need people who can enforce it, and then that costs money.
Well, it does cost money, but we talk about this new economic stimulus program that's being touted. That's the hot buzzword since President Obama came into office. Well, why don't we take a look at that? I mean, what better way to give people new jobs to go in and help a situation where you're helping better the lives of animals? Being an animal lover, maybe I'm one-sided on this issue, but I think that's just as constructive as building more roads or...
I agree, totally.
Sure. And I think some people would enjoy to have a job where they have some security and some benefits, and they're helping these beautiful creatures out.
I wonder how we could suggest that.
Contact your local senators and congressmen and let them know how you feel. There's big push on these type of things with larger organizations like the ASPCA and the HSUS, and I'm sure that organizations of that sort. And I know at least once a year, each of those organizations has a lobbying day at the state level where you can join up with their group and you can go down and meet all the state and U.S. representatives, tell them how you feel, position it as something that we could actually help these animals out with, and let your voice be known, because you vote those people into office, so you have to let them know what you're thinking.
Well, and also, Tim, when you get on the Oprah show, I think you should bring this up and suggest that.
Yeah, well,
that's
a good point, and I think possibly Oprah has President Obama's ear just a little bit. So
I would say so. Well, Tim, we've got Angela on the line. I wanted her to call in because she makes up these products, and I wanted her to clear up some things that I said. I think I said it could be used for all animals, and I'm not sure that's correct. So I'll let Angela talk a little bit more about our pest-free and our wormer. You there, Angela?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it was a long time since I've used this click-to-talk button, so I didn't know if it would work.
Oh, you're on click-to-talk. We can hear you. You're kind of faint, so you can speak up a little.
Okay, how about that?
Oh, that's better.
Is that better? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Tim.
Hi, Angela. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm actually off of school, so I was able to jump in after Colleen reminded me.
That's great. That's great. Well, we're always glad to talk to you. And Colleen was telling us about all these wonderful new products you guys have. So tell us a little bit more about them.
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, the duster that we have, you can use it for any animal. It's really good. You can use it on ferrets. You can use it on rabbits. You can use it on anything externally. It's basically you do it for every other day for about 12 days, basically the life cycle of a flea. And then that'll take care of all the eggs and anything that's hatching. You can use it on their bedding. You can use it in the yard and the house. And I've trialed it extensively in my area. We have some severe infestations, and within the first day, they were gone.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, I mean, talking huge infestation. Her dog, one of the dogs, were completely covered in scratches, redness, bleeding, just from itching so bad. And that
what we like about it is there's no chemicals. It's a safe product to use.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
now do you have to go back and revisit it every so often, or is it one and done type thing?
As needed. I mean, if it comes back, as you know, you can get fleas from all different areas. If you have new cats that bring them into your yard or anything like that, you're up for reinfestation, of course, because there's no chemicals. It's not going to prevent them from coming back, but it'll kill what comes in contact with.
Angie, it can be used like on their bedding too?
Oh yeah, you can use it on the bedding. You can use it in your house. You can use it in your yard. You can use it pretty much anywhere, and that's what is unbelievable about it. That's what's nice about it, and they have reported wonderful. We have I'm working with the Greyhound Rescue here. They have found really good, so it's kind of one of those things that it's just universal. There's no toxic effects. There's no side effect to, children, any other pets whatsoever. You mix it into their dust like with chinchillas and let them roll in that. It's great.
That's great. And how can people get a hold of the product?
The product is actually online on the website at simplynhn.com.
Excellent.
Or you can contact one of us directly, and we can get you what you need.
And I mentioned the wormer being for rabbits, but there is the wormwood in there we're not sure about. But we can have it made without that for rabbits.
Exactly. Everything in the wormer is safe for all animals except the wormwood, which that can be, taken out as needed, as, ordered.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's got pumpkin seeds
so
in, which are really good.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of good results with it, and I've got all my horses on it, and this is just a 5-day with the wormer. It's just a 5-day regimen. You give them it every day for 5 days, and you're done. You don't have to feed them feed it again for, we recommend, every 6 months. Or if you have an infestation that you just can't get rid of course, you it's safe enough to use again. Because it's, again, no chemicals, no tox specs.
Very good. So everybody needs to check out those products, that's for sure.
Yes. Your months and months and months of research went into this one.
And I want to encourage everybody to sign up for Tim's newsletter and to get his book when it comes out.
Yeah, take a look at the website if you haven't done it. We're constantly updating it. We've got a lot of new information in there and new clips, video clips and pictures on the website as well. And, of course, you can sign up for the newsletter, and that's at wagging-tales.com. So that's wagging-tales.com. And that'll tell you everything that's going on, and there's a lot of good helpful hints on there as well. And we encourage people if they one of the new things we put on there is a blog. We're doing a blog, and I've got some of my thoughts on a couple of topics, and we're more than anxious to get some feedback on the blog and give us your 2 cents worth on that and other topics that you'd like covered. And the newsletter, we're doing the same thing. We're trying to reach out to the people who sign up for the newsletter to get topics that they would like to hear about and get their viewpoint on it, which could be included in the newsletter as well.
Wonderful.
And
well,
don't forget,
go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, and don't forget we got our promotion going on this month where if you refer to 2 clients to us for a private consultation, you'll receive a free one yourself. So it's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's great. Well, I guess our time is about up.
Nice.
We've got 2 minutes left, so anybody want to pipe in and say anything?
No, I wish I knew I was going to be off of school, though, so I'd get an update on mine.
Yeah, well, we had a couple of people that didn't show up. I'm not sure what happened. I hope everything's okay. I know Cheryl was kind of in a situation where she needed some help, so I hope she's doing okay. I'm sure we'll hear from her later.
Yeah, well, we look forward to it. And we'll be back on next month as well.
March already.
That's right.
Wow.
And our little groundhog down here in Georgia, General Beauregard, he, make sure I got this right, he did not see his shadow, so I think spring's right around the corner. Hopefully I got that one right. So
Someone
we're excited.
Else said it's not coming, but I think it's coming early.
Yeah, we've had a really mild winter out here.
Yeah,
I don't know how it's been out there.
Us too.
But, so Super we're not
mild.
Knocking it. Yeah, we'll take it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys. We'll talk to you next month.
Okie doke. Thank you, everybody.
Right. Take care.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time. Until then, this is DC from Natural Horse Network. Goodbye.